Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I can make you put your phone down. I can make you put your phone down.
Erykah Badu says she can make you put your phone down, but so many couples struggle with putting those phones down. They are struggling with text messages, email, phone calls from work when they're not at work. And even when they are at work, if something comes up, when do you stay on the job? And when do you pull away? Has your job become more significant than your significant other? And is your significant other about to become someone else's because you're married to your job? Where's the balance? Where's the line? How do you find it? Well, joining me tonight to help us figure it all out is licensed clinical social worker and relationship expert Paul Bechet-Williams. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher Bechet. How are you, man? Good to see you.
I am well. I'm well. I'm happy to be in studio tonight.
I know. How about that? It has been a minute.
Yes.
It has been a minute. And you don't let your job get in the way because I see the missus in there looking good. Hey, how you doing? But, but look, here's how do you know if your job is getting in the way of your relationship?
Well, it depends. Well, it shows up the way you guys communicate, the way you guys interact, moods, whenever you guys are talking. Also, when you notice that your partner is consistently on their phone and they're ignoring you, there becomes a conversation about what's a priority, right? There's a lack of boundaries that are happening when you're constantly on your phone, somewhat addicted to your phone, someone feeling like you have to respond to everything. We live in a digital age, So everybody wants to know what's happening. And sometimes we start conversations through text, email, or just looking online, on social media, whatever it is, and then our mind stays there even when we put our phones down. We're still wondering who responded to what. What do I have to say next? So there's a whole bunch of different things that pop up when you ask that question.
But some people have jobs where they really have to be tied to what's going on. DC is a government town. We've got a whole bunch of, GS 13, 14 squared cube to the 20th power, you know, people that are in management positions and, you know, they're the boss of their office, their division, in their agency, what have you. And so a lot of people need to stay tied to their phones. Mm-hmm. But is there a point at which they have to, perhaps at dinner, not just turn them upside down, but put them away?
Yeah, absolutely, because the phone just being there is a distraction. I think about sometimes when I'm seeing clients, I immediately put my phone away once the session starts, because if my phone there, it'll light up, right? It'll buzz, it'll do different things. Even my Apple Watch, it'll go off in the middle of a session and I'm distracted. So when that phone is there, both partners are paying attention to it. Like, why is your phone lighting up in the middle of a conversation? Who is that? So those questions become the norm for the conversation, because the phone is always a topic of conversation because it's in the view of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. But it's not always just your electronic devices. Sometimes it's just the job. Mm-hmm. And for example, if you're in a meeting and your significant other calls you and has something to say or tell you or share with you, how do you determine when to text back or even step out of the meeting? I mean, short of life or death, there's got to be something that you need to figure out.
Right. There's a necessary conversation that you need to have with your partner. All right. When can I get to my phone? I don't think we talk too much about it. We expect our partners to understand without communicating it more than once. We have to keep them updated on what the boundary looks like, right? And we have to be able to honor each other, because sometimes the job is the priority at that particular time, but that doesn't mean that it's the priority of the entire relationship. Mm-hmm. So if I can put the parameters around what that looks like, it's from the 8 to 5 hour, this is when I'm needed, right? So I need to pay attention to what's going on during the day. So my partner knows I'm not neglecting them. I'm just more focused on my job at that particular time. And when I'm off the job, we're together, we're going to dinner, we've had that conversation, babe, my phone might go off, I might have to take this conversation. Mm-hmm. But that's communicated ahead of time, so it's not a surprise, and it's not neglecting the partner. It's making them aware of what happens and what my priorities are and what my job duties and what my performance, because a lot of times that's our livelihood. So we have to be able to communicate that effectively.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we are asking, is your job getting in the way of your relationship? Where is the balance? Where is the line? How do you find it? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So when we were discussing this earlier today, we were knocking around a scenario where a man was in a meeting. His significant other had a flat tire. She called him. He could not leave the meeting. His response was, I'm in a meeting. She was upset. And so she called her ex-boyfriend, which was already a problem, I think. That's a whole different conversation. Yeah. And the ex-boyfriend came to the rescue. But short of her being somewhere isolated in the middle of the night, and where she may not feel safe, should he have gotten out of the meeting? Should he have called AAA for her? Should she have been able to call AAA? I know we're just two guys in here talking right now, so I'm sure the women listening may have their own thoughts about that. I'm interested to hear that, too. But what do you think?
So here's the other side of that. The boundaries aren't just for the partner. The boundaries are for the job as well. So if I'm clear with my job that I have a wife who's stranded, right, I should be able to tell my job, I need to step out for a moment. Mm-hmm. My wife is stranded with a flat tire. I need to make a 5-minute call. Right. I'm not losing the entire meeting. I'm stepping out for 5 minutes to handle this and making sure that somebody is helping my wife. Right. So I can keep updated. So we don't always set boundaries with our job, and we teach them how they expect us to operate in our jobs. Right. So they expect us to always be available. They expect us to not take breaks. They expect us to not take some time for ourselves and prioritize our families at particular moments. But if my job knows, and I'm married, my job knows that my wife is stranded, if they can't understand that, we need to have a different conversation.
Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, you're an astronaut.
Right. Right, right. But that whole other thing, like you calling, it's deeper for you to do that.
That's
still have access.
A problem.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different layers to that.
Now, here's the other piece, though. It's one thing if you're working, but what if you and your significant other are on vacation, and then the job calls, and you're not just out of town, perhaps you're out of the country, and your job is calling, texting, emailing, or perhaps they're going to email anyway. Mm-hmm. Whose responsibility is it to adjust to the vacation situation? Is it up to you, the person who's receiving the email, or is it up to your partner to be understanding?
It's both, because what we're doing is solidifying and securing the relationship. That, again, we're talking about communication, right? I'm first communicating to my job. That's my responsibility. I'm communicating to my partner. That's my responsibility. She's communicating back. That's her responsibility. And we're both responsible for our relationship. And then at that particular point, if the job is calling and I've already established that I'm on vacation, if it's not an emergency, it's nothing I can do from this particular area anyway. If you need me to drop something real quick, that's something different. I can tell my partner, hey, I need to do this real quick, and then we're back to vacation. Or I think even sometimes we talk too much about our jobs on vacation. There's nobody emailing or texting us, but we're constantly talking about our jobs on vacation. We're supposed to be escaping that. So there's a whole bunch of different things that happen with that. But I think, again, there's levels and there's responsibilities that we have to our job and to our partner, and our partner has to us.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. When it comes to your job, can you put your phone down? Is your job getting in the way of your relationship? And how do you handle that with your partner? I'm really interested in hearing what you have to say about that. Have you had this struggle? Do you think that your partner is married to their job instead of perhaps married to you? How do you handle that? I'd be interested in hearing what you have to say. And I think that's another question. What impact does being married to your job have on your relationship? I mean, I need my job, but I want my relationship.
Yeah, we often minimize our partners in those situations. And we have this, you know, we call the hustle culture. Like, I want to get to a certain level of life, and I want you to just respect that, right? And we don't communicate that. We just expect them to just tag along. Meanwhile, we're neglecting our partners. And so we don't have enough communication in saying that, okay, I'm reaching a goal, and we don't have enough breaks from that goal to attach ourselves to the relationship. There's no reason why you can't hold your partner's hand while you're pursuing your goals. Mm-hmm. And whatever that looks like, theoretically, physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, all those different things, it needs to happen. And so we need to have more conversation on what that looks like to be supportive, right? And submissive to the relationship, to saying that I'm not neglecting it. I'm still in this partnership with you, but I also have goals that I'm pursuing. Mm-hmm. And checking in, what do you need during this particular
time? Oh, there you go. There's the question.
Yeah.
What do you need? A great question. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines. Mike, calling from Baltimore. Mike, what do you have to say?
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
You know, because I hear the discussion being related to how does your job affect your partner. But my question is, how does the job affect you in terms of having a relationship with yourself?
You mean the working so hard or working so much, and what impact does it have on the relationship?
No, I mean if that you're working so hard that you don't take time out to have a relationship with yourself.
Okay.
Because if you can't have a relationship with yourself, how are you going to be available to have one for your partner?
Yeah. Go right ahead, Bishay.
Yeah, that's the same thing, having the conversation, having the boundaries, right? I know when I have interns working for me, I often encourage them to schedule an hour a week for them. Put that on their calendar that I can see, and what are they doing for themselves in that particular hour? I say the same things to my clinicians, and I do the same thing for myself, because you don't want to be so burnt out that you can't pursue anything else. You don't have the energy, you don't have the wherewithal, you don't even have the ability or the space to pour into yourself. So you definitely need to have those boundaries around work, and again, communicating with your job what your availability is.
Mm. Mike, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about your job and the impact that it has on your relationship, as well as what impact does your relationship have on your job. Are you so tied to your job? Are you so married to your job that you can't put your phone down, that you can't stop answering text messages, email, inboxes, all of smoke signals, carrier pigeon messages, all of that from your job? Is it getting in the way of your relationship? How do you know, and how do you set those boundaries? Ashley, calling from Maryland, we're going to talk to you next. Also, Anna, calling from Maryland, we're going to talk to you as well. Derek, you're just calling in. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. 202-319-7810. This discussion continues in just a few seconds.
Show me attention, and I'll cut mine off too. Boy, that I have when I listen, I can make you put your phone down. Baby, we don't need it. Every time you get a message.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're asking, is your job getting in the way of your relationship with your significant other? How do you keep it from falling apart when the job is calling, texting, emailing, all of that? Well, my guest is Bashe Williams, relationship therapist and expert. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Ashley. Ashley calling from Maryland. Whoops, we lost Ashley. Ashley, call me back. Anna calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Anna, are you there?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
First thing, tomorrow's my birthday. I'm an April Fool's baby. That's the first thing.
Where's the party?
It's all over. I'm going to have a good time tomorrow.
Okay, well, look, congratulations. Happy birthday to you.
Yes, happy birthday.
What's on your mind?
Okay, so I was listening to the program, and the gentleman is correct. You have to be able to communicate with your job and your loved one. It's hard because, like, with my job, I'm a live-in caregiver, so it's hard for me to be able to communicate with a loved one, but I try to communicate it with my job. So as far as going on vacation, no, I don't answer. No phone calls, no text. Vacation time is vacation time. That's my time. And the job has to realize that. So therefore, there should be someone else in place to take any emergency calls when I'm out. So that's what I have to say about that.
Okay.
It's all about communication.
Well said, Anna. Thank you so much. And again, happy birthday. Bashe, your thoughts about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Bye-bye.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, systems need to be in place to replace you when you're not there. And so just like she said, when you're on vacation, if that's the ability that you have, depending on your job, that you have someone who is a go-to when you're out of there. But also, again, the communication with your job when you don't, and the communication with your partner, and also setting those firm boundaries around everything that you're doing.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Derek calling from Southeast D.C. Derek, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm calling in because my significant other didn't understand that me being a mechanic, I cannot have my cell phone with me at all times. I leave it in my toolbox, but I gave her the number to the office to call if there's an emergency. She feels as though when she calls, I have to drop everything and answer the phone. It's dangerous. What I work on is very large equipment, and it's dangerous for me to try and pay attention to that phone. I text her when I get a chance, or I call her when I get a break. That's not enough for her.
How long have you two been together?
We are in the process of dissolving our relationship.
Oh, man, I am sorry to hear that. I'm really sorry to hear that. So how long had you two been together?
Going on 14 years.
Wow. And she didn't understand?
Yeah.
I guess you've been a mechanic for a while. That's not something you just, you know, do a correspondence course online. I mean, you've been doing that. That's your career.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there something else that happened within the relationship for that to not be understood? Is there something connected to that? You not being accessible or available?
She believes that if I don't answer the phone, I'm somewhere else.
Okay.
And it's not that I'm somewhere else. I can't, if I'm working on something that has a 300, 400 pound piece of equipment that I'm working underneath, I can't drop everything because I'm working with something that has a lot of weight that I have to secure first.
Okay.
Well, and when I text her back, oh, never mind, you didn't have time for me.
Okay. So it could be a couple of different things going on. One of the questions I would ask if you were in session with me, I would ask, has there ever been a time where you weren't where you said you were? The other thing is, has there ever been a time where she has consistently, or does she consistently feel neglected and you guys aren't communicating, you're not doing any of the repair process when you're off the job? Is there other times when you're off the job, you might be so exhausted, you might have some other things going on, you might want to just go hang with the fellas, you might want to do different things, so even when you're off the job, she feels neglected. Is the communication effective enough to sustain the relationship? And it doesn't sound like that has been happening. Because 14 years is a long time to be in the relationship, and then all of a sudden, because I don't get enough attention, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
It's funny you said that, because she mentioned counseling, went through, set everything up. She didn't want to follow through on her end because the doctor wanted to speak to her separately after speaking to me. And she said, nope, she don't need it. I don't have the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Derek, you know, good luck to you. And, you know, as a novice, as it relates to that kind of thing, you know, as you're moving through this process and when it's over, hey, you may need to sit down and talk to someone yourself just to make sure that your head and your heart are clear. So, you know, certainly, you know, good luck to both of you as you move through that process. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about your job and asking if it's getting in the way of your relationship. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Lines are open. So, if you are not in a long-term relationship, but let us say that you're dating, you're in the dating process, you kind of know, or I would imagine you kind of have an idea that one person is particularly busy. Mm-hmm. How do you do that, particularly if you know, you really like that person really, really likes you, and you're dealing, you know, you're trying to go through that dating process, but you know, if you're dealing with somebody who, for example, is an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. their sole source of income is, you know, they eat what they kill, mm-hmm. as they say, mm-hmm. as opposed to someone who has, you know, 9 to 5, you know, government job at 5:01, they're out of there and they don't hear anything else from the job again until 9 o'clock in the morning or, you know, the next Monday if it's a Friday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's interesting because that's my wife and I's dynamic, mm-hmm. right? I'm in private practice. I own my company and she works for the school system. So she has a set schedule. Sometimes I might see clients until 8 o'clock at night, depending on the schedule. And so, what I had to do was communicate effectively. So even if something changes in my day, I need to communicate that. But what happens in what I see a lot of different couples is everything looks good until you're in it. And because the shift happens once you no longer feel like I'm a priority, like it was attractive to see somebody grinding, to see somebody hustling. Mm-hmm. But now I'm with them and that grind and that hustle is taking away the opportunity for us to get to know each other. Right. I'm often sitting on the sideline the way I was looking in, but I want to be more connected. So we again have to have more conversations. And also we have to have time where we said this is about us. Like, when are you prioritizing your relationship? Like, when do we have time when it's just for us? I understand your hustle. I understand your grind. But I need you to understand me and understand my needs, because this is a dual responsibility. And it's beneficial for both, because you're getting that support when you're coming off of that grind. You need somebody to be able to pour into, and you need to access different things that aren't connected to that hustle. Right. You need to be able to touch and tap into those emotional sides and that soft sides where you're not grinding.
But the other thing that I would say is there are degrees to this, depending on what your job, career, vocation happens to be. So again, you're a therapist and you own your own business, you own your own practice. But as a therapist, things can go left on a Saturday afternoon, mm-hmm. and that you may have a client who needs to talk to you. They may be having a mental health emergency, mm-hmm. and where you have to pick up the phone, because you know, suffice it to say, you may be the only one that could keep them from either harming themselves or or just doing something that would be unhealthy. How do you navigate that? But I guess, okay, your wife knows what you do. So she said that comes with the package.
Well, what happened before that is the boundary that I set. And so I'm no longer, and I'm not always accessible. If you have an emergency, my answer machine says call the crisis center or call 911.
Okay.
So that's the boundaries. That's the systems that we're talking about. People have to go through systems because if I make myself available to every single call, every single text, I'm burnt out. Mm-hmm. I don't have enough to even give my clients anything, let alone myself or my marriage. So again, we're talking about those systems and having boundaries. The clients know the boundaries, and that's also teaching them how to have boundaries with themselves and rely on some of the work that they're doing inside the sessions. So even other professions, when they set up those boundaries where I'm not the first call, I'm not the only call, there's a variety of people that are on call when I'm off. So we need to set up those systems and really honor them.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about your job getting in the way of your relationship. Let's go to Michael. Michael calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Michael. What's on your mind?
Yes, you know, I'm thinking the culprit in most of these matters is the cell phone, internet. When I was coming up, you were at work. The only way you got a call was to call the job when in an emergency. If the child was sick, if your partner was sick. And that meant you had to go home to communicate. After you got home, you were together to discuss the day's events. Other than that, this cell phone and the your child gets up and goes to school without a cell phone. I mean, they can't go nowhere without a cell phone. Nobody can move with my cell phone. I've gone up many a time and just didn't pick up my cell phone. But communication is lost now because of pay phones is gone. That was our opportunity. If I was coming home, oh, I need to find out what I need to get some milk or something. I had to stop at a payphone to call. Other than that, I had to go home, or we made a list. So I think the communication now is the culprit. We communicate too much over the cell phone and not enough in person. But like, that's just my opinion. Thanks for letting me talk about that.
Sure thing, Michael. Thank you so much. What do you think about that? Has technology begun to interfere and have us communicate too much?
Yeah, absolutely. We're spoiled. The microwave society, instant access, and we're expected to respond instantly because we have access, right? And so now the changing and the patterns of communication has shifted to, you have a cell phone, so why aren't you answering? Like, the expectation is, if I call, you need to answer, regardless of what's going on, because, again, if we need something, we go to our phones immediately, and we can get the answer. Google, whatever it is, we can get the answer. So we expect the same thing with our partners. Yeah. So that does get in the way. Our kids, our families, whoever that is, our friends, we get offended that somebody else is doing something else when we're trying to get in contact with them. Like, literally, like, I called you. Okay, I was working. I was asleep. I was taking a shower.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I can certainly relate to that. But, you know, I think also you mentioned earlier the hustle culture for people who are not married, but people who are perhaps dating or just starting the dating process. Is it too much to ask for the person who has a demanding job to be self-aware enough to know that maybe they shouldn't try to date if they can't give that other person what it is that they require?
Absolutely. We got to be honest on all sides of that. If you're not in a position to give somebody the time that they need or give yourself the time they need to build a relationship, be honest about that. But also, going back to the gentleman's question, when do you have time for yourself? Like, that has to be built in. And then you can incorporate a relationship if that's a goal at that particular time, is that's feasible. But also have a person really understand what your life looks like and then look at it and say, do you have the space to incorporate or to include someone in your lifestyle?
Mm-hmm. You know, the caller, the mechanic who called earlier, I don't think that he's really alone when you have, you know, perhaps significant others who may be, you know, too demanding of your time. And I've seen and I can't remember what it was, but I think it was one of those reality TV shows or something like that, where where the spouse was new, and there wasn't an issue of trust. This was an issue of the spouse being, dare I say, really needy, and needing to talk and share during the course of the day. And the husband was saying, she would call and she would say, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm working."
Yeah.
"Oh, well, I just wanted to call and say hi." "Okay. Hi, baby."
Yeah.
"But I need to get back to this client who's sitting here in front of me with an account that I'm trying to get." "Okay." And then she gets upset because he doesn't have time to talk to her while she is working from home. Where she and that's a really difficult thing to navigate when you have a spouse who's or a partner who really wants a lot of your time.
Yeah. So again, you create systems with that. You communicate that I'm not available during this time. If you really want something to say, send a voice note. That way, I will get it once I'm out of this meeting, and I will call you once I'm out of this meeting. Let's have a set time that we communicate throughout the day. Right? Because we get breaks throughout the day. If there's a moment that I can call and just check in and say, "Hey, how you doing? My day is going well." You can send a text during that in between, whatever that looks like. But again, communicate. But also, somebody has to have boundaries within themselves to know that I can't communicate and I can't expect my partner to always be available because I am. That's unfair. And that creates resentment. And that becomes something else that we really don't want to unpack, because it's a true issue about need, about boundaries, about what I expect from my partner. I expect my partner to be available more than a provider or whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. There's so many different conversations that come from that.
But also, I think the other thing is that sometimes your job may change. There may be a different career path. You may have a government job, and then all of a sudden you decide that you want to bake pies and become an entrepreneur. And so the spouse that always expected you to come to get home 90 minutes every day after 5 o'clock, but now you are, you're baking pies, or you have to worry about hiring staff to help you with this new entrepreneurial venture that you have. You got to be able to make those kind of adjustments, though.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But all those adjustments come with communication and understanding. Again, the check-ins. What do you need? You know everything is shifting. I'm moving to a new, different space, a new different career. Okay, so things are going to shift. How can we prioritize and how can we still see each other in this process of this shift? Mm-hmm. How do we adjust to this new way of living for us?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because you don't want, as we started the show, well, if you can't come in, if you can't leave the meeting while I'm on the side of the road with a flat tire, I guess you don't want her to call her work husband.
No emotional mistress or no emotional manstress.
I've never emotional mistress manstress.
Yes.
Oh wow, yes. Let's talk about that, because I think everybody kind of has a air quotes work husband, work wife, where you've got somebody, Your guy Friday, your gal Friday, the person that you get along with, nothing untoward is going on, but you are depending on this person to make sure that, all the gears are fitting, that all the ships are floating and sailing the way they're supposed to, on the job. But you still have to have boundaries, even when there's trust there.
Yeah, absolutely. I talk about this in my book when I talk about the emotional mistress and emotional manstress. That's the safe space, right? That's the outlet. And the outlet becomes a sort of dependency, right? Even people who have affairs, sometimes that affair is sustaining the relationship.
Because how is that?
Because if I'm in chaos with my partner, right, and then I get reprieve from the side, right, that allows me to get the energy to go back to my relationship. So people don't leave the relationships. They just seek the stress relief outside of the relationship and then go into the relationship. So that allows them to not face it so well. It's not that hard because I have the escapism. It's just like when COVID shut down, right? Mm-hmm. We had the escapism. We had the gym. We had work, that ride to work. That was allowing us, if we weren't dealing with our issues at home and we had a really like strained relationship, that allowed us to escape. So the same thing happens when you you communicate with that partner or that person outside your relationship. All right, you understand me better. All right, I got to go home now, right? Okay, this is what I need in this particular moment. So now I have to go home. And people have literally used their side partners,
situations
to sustain a relationship.
I can just imagine trying to explain using what you just said. Call Bashay, honey, because this is what he said. He said, Frida at work, she is helping me sustain my relationship.
Not in that way. It's not a healthy thing. It's not a healthy thing. It's a distraction, right?
Yeah.
It's escapism.
And certainly unhealthy.
Yeah.
Because what is it? Brenda, this is Shirley. you don't want any of that.
No.
At all. But and we've been talking about how the job can interfere with your relationship. But again, how can the relationship interfere with the job, and how does a couple prioritize the relationship from that perspective? I mean, it's like our friend, the mechanic, you know, at some point, do you want me to take a greasy finger selfie just to prove where I am?
Yeah. It just sounds like something else is going on. We don't have all the information. Mm-hmm. But if it's 14 years or just any amount of time, if we haven't communicated what that looks like, then at some point, we have to realize that this person is not for me. It's okay to say that, but pay attention to that early. And if a person can't really understand, is it because I haven't communicated what it really is? Is it because we don't have effective communication? Bring a third party in, like a therapist, a coach, or whatever that is, to help us figure this thing out. Help us figure out this relationship structure so we can sustain a healthy relationship. Not a perfect relationship, but a healthy relationship.
How would you define someone being married to their job?
Someone who doesn't have anything outside of their job that they prioritize, right? So this is my beginning. I wake up in the morning, I'm focused on my job. I go to sleep, I'm doing my job until I fall asleep. I take a break. Am I really taking a break? The only break I'm taking is to get some rest, to build it up, to go back to the job. So it's my first thing, it's my last thing, it's throughout the day. And nothing else matters besides that job.
Mm. But some jobs expect it, and I will use my job, for example. First and foremost, you know, my friends know, my daughter knows, although she often forgets, you cannot call me between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because I am not going to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And I think the reality is, even if it is life or death, nothing is going to change in 60 minutes. There's yeah. nothing that I can do between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m.
Yeah.
But I do understand, I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm married to my job, but I do, but I do have a routine, which is in the news business, things happen when you're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get up, the first thing I do is I need to reach over to my phone and see what I've missed overnight, to see what is happening, not only nationally, what is happening locally, but what's happening with the stock market, all of those things. Yes, and so I do live and breathe this, but I also think that at some point the two can relationships and jobs can coexist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So even if I think about your dynamic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you do is you wake up and you go to your phone to figure out what happened when you were sleeping. What would happen if you started your day off with some meditation, with some prayer, with some breakfast, with a shower, with all those different things before you pick up your phone? Like 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour, not just rushing to your phone, but just getting your day ready. Maybe you do affirmations. Maybe you do something else before you rush to the phone. Because, again, we talked about there's nothing that you can do within that 60 minutes while you're at work. Mm-hmm. So that first 60 minutes of the day is for you. That's mm-hmm. when you're prioritizing yourself mm-hmm. because you deserve that.
Well, I think the only thing with that is that that's the day that my boss calls me and says, Donald Trump has been indicted. and we need you on the air right now. And okay. so then I'd have to say, excuse me, Lord. I love you, but I need my job. but all jokes aside, that is, I think, part of it. The news business, you've heard of the 24-hour news cycle. Well, mm-hmm. I think that's real. But then you have people who are perhaps in the entertainment industry where there are long breaks where you may not be doing something. Right. And then there are, if you're an actor and you're in movies, or if you're doing a stage play that has a certain kind of run, or perhaps you are a government contractor who is overseas for a period of time. So, you know, all of these jobs are different, and I would think that you have to really be focused and intentional.
Yes, very. Again, the word is communication. Like, I need to communicate to my job. I need to understand. I need to communicate to my partner. I also need to have a level of understanding of what my needs are.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that break comes, I need to really prioritize my break. I need to give myself whatever I need because I deserve it during that particular time. The boundaries, the self-care, the really putting our phones down, the really removing ourselves from the responsibility of the job. So many different things need to happen once you're off that clock. And give yourself permission to be off that clock.
And I think to that particular point when you talk about, you know, being focused, being and prioritizing things, sometimes I think it may be easier for two people, and I'm talking about the dating process that may lead to marriage or long-term commitment, when you have two people who are in the same hustle culture. Mm-hmm. Or for example, you said, you know, that your wife is a teacher. If you were a teacher, then there may need to be less of the conversation because she already knows what you're doing. You already know what she's going through. If you have two entrepreneurs, for example, who are, you know, one is selling pies and another person is, doing real estate. And when you have, and so you understand the compatibility of being in that hustle culture where you kind of understand. Is that likely to work any better?
So first, I have to say that my wife is not a teacher. She's a retired principal.
Okay.
She works in a school system. Mm-hmm. She does branding and marketing because I don't want to catch anything in the car from her. But then she has her own business too. Yeah. But we communicate what that looks like. But we also hold each other accountable. So if you have two people in the same kind of like hustle culture, same entrepreneurship, you both need to be accountability partners. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to give each other permission to check in and say, all right, we've worked so hard. We need a break. Let's sit down. Let's watch a movie. Let's take a nap. Let's exercise. Let's do those different things. We do understand that we have a goal to set, but we also understand we need to have the energy to reach those goals.
Mm-hmm. Final thought from you about letting your job not get in the way, or making sure your job does not get in the way of your relationship.
I think it goes back again to communicating to your job and communicating to your partner and prioritizing both in different areas. But as long as we're communicating, we're setting those boundaries, the relationship can work.
Mm. Well put. Well, you can tell your wife. He's teacher, principal, educator, whatever. I get it. I come from a long line of educators, so I get it. Paul Bishay Williams, thank you so much, man, for coming in,
always
talking to us, and hopefully we are able to help some people, and certainly a brother who called in, the mechanic. As I said before, as you move through the end of this process, make sure that you take time to sit down and talk to someone to make sure your head and heart are clear. Again, Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, March 31st. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins-Wilson, intern Michaela Pierre, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.